It's Wednesday, 1st of October 2014. This is HPR episode 1608 entitled, Interviews at Lincoln LUG, and is part of the series, Interviews. It is hosted by first-time host Corey Nominal and is about 45 minutes long. Feedback can be sent to coreynominal@coreynominal.org or by leaving a comment on this episode. The summary is a collection of short interviews with Lincoln LUG members.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by anhonesthost.com. Get 15% discount on all shared hosting with the offer code HPR15. That's HPR15. Better web hosting that's honest and fair at anhonesthost.com.
Hello everyone, this is Hacker Public Radio and my name is Philip Newborough. This is my first submission to HBR and it consists of a collection of interviews which I made at the Lincoln Linux User Group meeting held on the evening of Wednesday the 17th of September 2014. During the meeting I interviewed 10 fellow LUG members and asked them all the same three simple questions. The participating LUG members were not given the questions in advance of their interviews, and the resulting answers were quite varied and interesting. Hopefully, this collection of interviews will provide you, the listener, with a good understanding of the broad mix of Linux users who attend Lincoln LUG. My apologies for any background noises you may hear during the interviews. Lincoln LUG holds its meeting on the third Wednesday of each month at Lincoln Bowling Alley. I conducted the interviews outside of the alley, so you may or may not hear the occasional bowler leaving the building or chit-chatting in the background. I hope this does not distract too much or ruin your enjoyment of this episode of HPR. So, with no further ado, on to the interviews. Okay, so this is the first interview at Lincoln LUG. I'm about to interview... Well, I'll let him introduce yourself. So if you could just state your name for the listeners of Hacker Public Radio, please.
Hello, I'm Dave Armour, a friend of Phil's from way back in the days of Gelders.
Okay. I've got a feeling nobody's now going to know what that is, but basically Dave and I worked together for a while. So
He's still receiving therapy for it now. So.
Yeah, okay. So... Back to the format. I've got a few questions for you, Dave. So, what was your first Linux experience?
Oh, crikey. Be several years ago. It was a CD or DVD-ROM that I got off the old man of a very basic version of Linux. I was sort of running on a Pentium 133 at the time. So... never really got into it till recently, so I've now installed Linux Mint, Quinna, and going for that sort of thing at the moment, and using it as a sort of software and hardware diagnostics laptop.
Okay, that's great. So that's answered my first and second questions, actually, because the second question was going to be, what's your desktop at the moment?
To be fair, I've got the desktop at home is Windows 7, but actually my software and testing kit is my laptop on Linux Mint.
Okay, and that's running Cinnamon?
Yeah, it's running the Cinnamon 32-bit at the moment. I might go up sort of the next level sort of thing to try and get a bit more out of it as time goes on. So,
okay, cool. So are there any... tools or utilities that you cannot live without?
Wi-Fi is the main thing at the moment, and pretty much the idea of being able to get on the internet, because I know the other half would moan at me something chronic if I can't get access to the internet as well. So, but yeah, definitely Wi-Fi. So
okay, so for the benefit of the listeners, Dave's got a Broadcom card and we're spending tonight's Lincoln Lug meeting trying to get it installed for him. To be fair, it's not going to be a huge issue. We're just waiting for a USB stick. Yeah. So once we've got that, we'll be good to go. Yeah. So Dave, can the listeners find you anywhere on Twitter or Facebook?
Twitter, it's DJArmor_R1522. And it's just a picture of the Jolly Green Giant, of all things. So, and pretty much the same for Facebook, but it is a picture of what's classed as Bunny Suicide, because it was a quite a funny book that was out when I was a young lad, and the guy is still drawing a few photos for it, a few images for it now. So I think, if I remember correctly, it's a bunny rabbit held up by two legs, with the sort of the ropes attached to palm trees with a tight string between the middle of it, and it's trying to cut the string with its legs. So,
yes.
Excellent. Thanks, Dave.
Very disturbing.
You lost me somewhere, but yeah, brilliant. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Yeah, that was right.
Okay, so I'm at Lincoln Lug, and this is my second interview of the night, and this is with
Miles Fayas.
So, Miles, you're a regular Lug member. You come quite often.
Yeah, you should come quite often. Been here for the past 2 years.
Okay, that's great. So I've got a couple of questions for you. They're pretty basic. You should be able to answer them.
Sure.
So the first one is, what was your first experience of Linux?
I used a live CD of Nopix that came with PC format. It was just like CD-ROM just boot up, and it had like a proper working desktop environment.
Okay, that's cool. So what Linux distribution are you using at the moment, and what desktop environment or window manager?
I'm using Arch Linux at the moment. I've been doing for the past year, and I hadn't distroed hopped for ages. And at the moment, I'm using GNOME 3. Previously, I was using OpenBox. However, though, since the latest version of GTK, it's sort of messed up the traditional desktop look, so a normal GTK 3 app looks a bit like crap on it, because the GNOME developers and GTK developers just got the heads at their own direction and seem to be neglecting people who don't use use desktop environments outside GNOME or window managers. But hopefully, I've heard latest 3.14. They're going to like write client-side decorations for traditional things as well, so that will come handy.
Okay, cool. So that's you're using GNOME 3 at the moment, but previous to that, you were using OpenBox.
Yeah.
Okay, so the third question, what utilities or tools can you not live without?
DDF disk, because they're pretty useful lately, and probably Samba, because I've got Windows computers laying around from the family, so I've got to use that for network shares.
Okay, so on a sort of like, and they're sort of like regular tools you use on a daily basis?
Oh, tools use a regular basis? Vim.
Oh, so you're a Vim user?
Yeah. It seems to work on nearly every format, so.
Okay, that's cool. So that's pretty much it. Just finally, can listeners of HBR find you on Twitter or Facebook or anything like that?
Can find me on Facebook and Twitter, however, and update a profile for a while.
That's fine. What's your Twitter handle?
Handle?
Username.
Oh, yeah, it's just miles.fayas.
Okay, cool. Thank you very much, Miles.
Okay.
So I'm at Lincoln Lug, and this is my third interview of the night, and I'm about to interview
Phil Gobbett.
Okay, brilliant. So, Phil, there's a few questions for you. Not trick questions, just answer honestly and, you know, we'll be good. So your first question is, what was your first experience of Linux?
Oh, Tiny Core Linux, believe it or not.
Hardcore. No. Yeah, no, I believe it. Tiny Core, that's... actually, I think we discussed this last month, so it's an interesting distro. Okay, so... Second question, what is your current distro of choice, desktop environment or window manager?
Oh, current Linux distro is Puppy, and I've experimented with LDE and OpenBox as well with TinyCore. But yeah, I have not done too much in the last month or so since we last chatted about it.
Okay, that's cool. So OpenBox, that's interesting actually. I think you're the third person, the third person I've interviewed tonight, and nobody's said the big main distro at the moment. So that's a pretty good going, I think. Final question: what Linux tools, stroke utilities, can you not live without?
I think the partition manager. Other than that, I'm still learning the command line, which is like so much more powerful than the Windows environment, which is really blowing my mind at the moment. Just learning all the commands and what they can do, and things that used to take me forever editing binary data in hex editors, I can do from the command line using various functions and tools that I couldn't do before.
So are you a Nano, a Vim, Emacs? What floats your boat?
Emacs.
And that's enough from Phil. No, brilliant. Thank you, Phil.
Only Emacs because years and years ago, it was the first thing that I ever encountered when I was working in the Unix world. So.
Okay, fair enough. I generally don't do a lot of editing in the terminal. So if I do, I just bang open Nano and just do what I need to do and get out. So, but all respect to you for using Emacs. If the listeners of HBR wanted to find you on Twitter or Facebook or any social media, can they do that?
They can. It's at Phil Gobbett.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Phil.
Cheers.
So I'm at Lincoln Lug. This is my fourth interview, and I am interviewing
Joe Minchin. Hello.
Hi, Joe. So we're at a Linux user group, Lincoln.
Yep.
You use Linux?
I do. In fact, I use Crunchbang.
Okay. We won't dwell on that. So I've got three questions for you.
Well, come on, I'll explain why. It's not just because you write it.
Well, yeah. Okay, so I'm just going to ignore the Crunchbang stuff. Okay. So I've got three questions for you. Okay. First one is, what was your first experience of Linux?
Oh, my Lord. I guess it was probably quite an early-ish Ubuntu. Before Hardy Heron, I remember I had a horrible time trying to get internet access sorted out wirelessly and things like that. I had to delve into it, so it was a bit of a baptism by fire. Everything just plugs in and works nowadays, it's great, but in those days we had to get a bit dirty.
Yep, I remember those days.
Yeah,
so that would have been like a Heron. That would have been known
before Heron. It was before Heron. I can't remember what it was before Heron. Sort of crusty GNU or something, I'm not sure. You know what it's like.
Yeah, those damn pesky code names.
Yes.
Okay, indeed. We're just going to say it's Warty Warthog and be done with it.
I've never used Warty Warthog. I went on to other things.
I think Warty Warthog may have been the first. I could be wrong.
It wasn't that one, no. Okay. It wasn't the first one.
Okay, good answer. Right. Second question.
Okay.
What Linux distribution are you using at the moment, and what... desktop environment or stroke window manager?
Right, well, I like Debian-based distros, and I use quite a lot of old equipment, so it's got to be quite lean, which is why I use Crunchbang. And I use it pretty much out of the box most of the time. Yeah.
Okay, I know a fair bit about Crunchbang.
Yeah.
It's basically Debian... with OpenBox,
yeah,
and heavily customised towards providing a good out-of-the-box experience with OpenBox.
Yeah.
Okay, brilliant. Let's move on quickly.
Well, no, I'll just say that the kids will endorse it as well, because each one of those who've got experience with Ubuntu, Mint, whatever, end up asking me to put Crunchbang on their machines because it's faster and it looks dead cool. And my daughter, who is dating someone who does computing science at Birmingham University, is going, I've got Crunchbang. And he's going, oh, wow. It's cool.
Okay, it's cool. I'll take your word for it.
All right.
Okay, third question.
Yeah.
What tools, stroke utilities, can you not live without?
What, on Linux or on other operating systems, I'm asking, just because the most important one to me, I'm afraid, is Get iPlayer, which probably puts me in lots of people's bad books, but that's on Linux, so, you know, that's why I've always got to have a Linux box with me.
Well, that's a fair answer. So I take it you watch a lot of, what is it you're downloading, is it episodes of Doctor Who and stuff like that?
Stuff like that, yeah. Yeah, I've got a friend in the States who perhaps wants to be able to see it a bit before than she would otherwise, you know. So.
Okay, well, no, it's a fair answer. I mean, Get iPlayer, is that, I think it's like, is it a Perl script, or it's fairly...
Yeah.
It's a shell script of some description.
It's a shell script. It hasn't really got a GUI. I know some people try to put a GUI together for it for a while, but no, you do it in Bash. That's it.
Excellent. Great answer. Okay, so thanks for the interview. For the listeners of HPR...
I'm Joe, who normally breaks computers. That's my job. I break them.
Someone's got to. Yeah. So,
like Linux, you don't break it that hard.
Can the listeners find you on Twitter or Facebook or anywhere like that?
Well, yeah, if they want to shout at me. If you Google Happy Bun, generally you'll find it. It's HAPPIBUN.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, so I'm at Lincoln Lug, and this is my fourth interview of tonight, and I am interviewing...
Graham.
Hi, Graham. Thanks for taking part. So, this is going to be a really short interview. There's, like, three questions. The first question is, what was your first experience of Linux?
My first experience of Linux was when I bought it from PC World. I bought SUSE Linux 6.1, and I got it home. I tried to install it, but by the time I finished installing it and X and the window manager, it filled up my entire hard drive, so I was stuck after that. So not a very positive first experience, but I persevered.
I remember the day. So I think mine was probably, might have been the same box set, actually. It was like a big white SUSE box set and had about six CDs.
Yeah, they all had a geometric construction on the box, and every different version had a different one.
Yeah, I remember the days. That was, so that would have been, like, not early internet in terms of internet, but in the UK, we're probably talking much before broadband speed. So if you wanted to get, like, a full distribution, you'd get it on a large box set of CDs.
Yeah, I had a 33.6K modem, so I was able to download some of the distributions where you would have one boot disk and one root disk, but saving up my pocket money and buying it was the only option for me then.
Sweet. Right, so second question. I think I've got an idea that this one might be interesting for the listeners. What distribution are you using at the moment? What desktop environment and or window manager?
The distribution I use on my laptop is Debian. I tend to use CentOS on servers. I don't have a window manager as such. Or I don't have a desktop environment, but I do use the Xmonad window manager. And any other general things that I tend to test that I tend to need to do, I tend to just use the terminal for, apart from browsing the web, which I use a web browser for.
Okay, I've seen Graham's machine, it's pretty epic. What branch of Debian are you using?
I'm using testing at the minute, and I'm starting to regret that because I'm having a few problems, like I can't seem to shut the machine down. Systemd always seems to hang. So I think if I were going to reinstall, I'd probably use stable.
Ah, right, okay. I think I've spoken to you in the past and you've been using SID or Unstable. So how come you swapped?
Because I found that I was having to use packages that were produced by, like, outside of Debian, and the versions in SID would often advance beyond the constraints that I was stuck with these other packages. So then I'd have to go and get all these other packages and build them from source just to match exactly what was in SID at the time. So basically, trying to use packages from outside of SID was too much work.
Okay, good answer. I think we're pretty much alike then, because I'm using testing at the moment. I think it's, I don't know, I think it's looking like it's going to be a pretty good Debian release. I think it goes into, Jesse's going to go into freeze about November time, so probably doesn't matter so much for Graham, because if you're using, was it Xmonad, It doesn't. It's not a. You can't install that as a sort of like one of the set task selector type environments, can you? You have to basically install it yourself. It's not like selecting one of the big three, say GNOME, KDE, or XFCE.
I don't know what the process by which you get one of those on is. I started by just with the plain install without X, and then I forced just what I wanted to be installed by apt-get install in X-Monad and just letting that pull X and all the dependencies it needed.
Okay, yeah, that sounds pretty much similar to what I do. But I think during the installation process in Debian, there's like a, it's called Task Cell, and it gives the option to install various components such as desktop environment. And I think at the moment, actually, I think for Debian, the default environment is XFCE. So you probably just unselected that when you did your basic install, didn't you?
Probably. I think I've just learned about Task Cell and the fact that FCE is the default. I didn't know that.
Well, you do now.
Yes.
No, I mean, the thing is, I think that it's concentrated flux, I think, because when the testing was what's the current stable? Is it Wheezy? I think they, while that was in testing, I think they chose XFCE for that, and then at the last minute they switched to GNOME, so I think it's one of those things that is not defined until right at the last minute. So anyway, I'm waffling now. So the third question, what tools / utilities can you not live without?
I need to think about that for a second.
It's okay, take your time, there's no rush. Over.
I couldn't live without IPython because there's so many little tasks that I just need an interactive shell with a decent scripting language to be able to do.
Okay, that's fair. That's a good answer. Yeah, brilliant, thanks. Okay, so for the listeners of HBR, can they find you on Twitter or Facebook or anywhere like that?
You mean there's people going to be listening to me? So
possibly.
Okay, they can find me on Twitter as gmarkle.
Excellent. Well, thank you for taking part, Graham.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Okay, so I'm at Lincoln Lug, and this is my fifth interview of the night. And I'm about to interview
Sarah Markle.
Hello, Sarah. Hello. So are you related to my previous interviewee?
Yes, but not by blood, only by marriage.
Well, okay, so you're his wife.
Yes.
Okay, so
it's all legal.
Okay, so that's good to know. Right, so basically I've got three questions for you. They're super simple. There's no trick questions. No, you know, just answer honestly and truthfully and we'll be good. So the first question is, what was your first experience of Linux?
It was with my lovely husband. He joined the Linux user group at Imperial. And he introduced me to the weird and wonderful ways of actually having a computer that works.
Brilliant. Excellent answer. Thank you. Okay. You're looking really worried. Okay, so second question. What Linux distribution are you using at the moment? What window manager or desktop environment?
I think I've got Debian at the minute, and I'm definitely using X-Monad, and I love it.
That was I love it.
I love it.
That's brilliant. Okay. And last question. So I have to remember this one. What tools, applications, utilities do you use on a daily basis which you can't live without? Is it
kind of
everything?
Yes.
Okay, that's brilliant. So, I mean, there's no... You're looking at me gone out. It's not a trick question. So, things like, do you use any particular editors or web browsers or any terminal tools, anything like that?
I think I use Edit Plus. Do I use Edit Plus? I think so.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
No, I use gedit. I use gedit now. Yeah, and... Yeah, I like that you can just sudo apt install programs that you don't have to worry about getting them. It's really simple to get them.
Yeah, okay, so that's pretty good. I mean, it sounds like you just like using it because it works.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you've got apt your package management system. So you just use it because it works. You can install things. You don't have to go off searching the internet for tools and stuff. You can just install things and use them and not have to worry about it.
Yeah.
Okay, that's brilliant. There's, you know, like I said, there's no trick. There's no trick questions here. Okay, so finally, for the HBR listeners, can they find you on Twitter or Facebook or anything like that?
Yes, you can find me on Twitter, and I am at The Actual Sarah.
Brilliant, thank you, The Actual Sarah.
You're welcome.
Okay. Okay, so I'm at Lincoln Lug again. This is my sixth interview of the night, and I'm interviewing...
Becky Newborough, save the best till last.
Who said you're last? I might have some more.
But I'm the best.
Okay, I'll give you that. So, I'm going to ask you three simple questions. There's no trick questions here. Try to answer as honestly as you can, factually as well, please. So, the first question is, what was your first experience of Linux?
My first experience of Linux was when I met you, and you introduced me to open source computing.
Okay, good answer. Second question, what Linux distribution are you using at the moment? What desktop environment or window manager?
So that's more than one question.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm using the wife spin of Crunchbang Linux. I think, you're going to test me on the bloody window manager that I'm using now. Do you want to know if it's OpenBox or KDE? What are you going to ask me? I don't bloody know. The one where I click on the desktop.
Okay, good answer. Yeah, so for the benefit of the listeners, it's OpenBox.
Yeah, you build it, I use it.
Yeah, that's a fair answer. Last question. What applications, stroke tools, stroke utilities do you use on a daily basis which you can't live without?
Oh, Christ. Bloody hell, you could have given me some warning for the question. That I can't live without.
It's not a trick question. So, for example, we've had answers such as Get iPlayer, web browsers, text editors. So, whatever you use on your computer, what's the first thing you open, say, when you turn your computer on?
Oh, well, open up my desktop and open up my browser, Chrome.
Ah, so web browser, so yes. Google Chrome. So you do a lot of web surfing?
Absolutely, yes.
Do you do much programming?
I do no programming apart from the updates that I do on the Lincoln Lug page monthly.
Ah, so you run Lincoln Lug?
I do run Lincoln Lug, yes.
And what does that entail?
Running Lincoln Lug. No.
Would you like to elaborate?
Okay, so I do the monthly updates on the website. I run the Google Plus page. I run the Twitter account. So getting the promotion out there ahead of the Lug meetings to let people know when it's on, what time, the location, and if we're having any special events like we are today, which is our third birthday this month.
Congratulations. So just back to the original question. So you edit web pages. What tool do you use for that?
Get it or get it.
Whichever one floats your boat. Okay, thank you very much. And finally, for the benefit of the... If any of the listeners of HBR wanted to find you online, can they find you on Twitter, Facebook or any of the various places?
Yeah, I am Bobo Bex on Twitter. And I'm Rebecca Newborough on Facebook. I'm Rebecca Newborough on Google Plus. Or you can actually just Google my husband, Philip Newborough, and you can find my links linked with him.
Okay, brilliant. Thank you for the interview.
Thank you very much. Good luck.
So I'm at Lincoln Lug. I think this is my seventh interview of the night. And I'm interviewing...
Darren Scott.
Hello, Darren. So you're a Lincoln Lug member. You've been regular.
Yes.
Okay, good question. Good answer. So, the first question, that was not it. Yeah. This is it. What was your first experience of Linux?
Oh, playing about with a Raspberry Pi was, what you call it, the first thing that I needed to start and learn Linux as another operating system.
Okay, that's a great answer. I've not had a Raspberry Pi brought into any of the interviews so far, so you know it's always good to get the Raspberry Pi advertising out there, so thanks for that, Darren. So that would be Raspberry Pi uses a version of Debian.
Yes, that was one of the first distributions I tried. Yes, followed by Ubuntu soon after, when I tried that on a PC.
Okay, brilliant. So what Linux distribution are you using at the moment?
Mint, Ubuntu, and the Debian on the Raspberry Pis, as well as some of its more native ones like Python.
Okay, brilliant. So that's, well, I lost count of how many distributions you named there, but so if you had to choose one of them as your daily driver, say, for example, which one would it be?
Probably Mint. It seems to work on things out of the box, because I'd get through an awful lot of PCs playing about with things, and that's the one that seems to work first time.
Okay, brilliant. So that's
the wireless operate parts for connecting up to the internet.
Okay, so that seems to be a running theme tonight. Yeah. People wanting a Linux distribution that just works out of the box with wireless support. So, a great answer. When you're using Linux Mint, are you going for the Cinnamon desktop, or are you choosing Mate or Mate or XFCE or?
It depends for what it's being used for, you know, because some machines you're looking for something that is lightweight, you know, if it's an older machine. So some of them, you know, it doesn't particularly matter, so you look for something that looks a little bit more pretty and everything else, and more what the person is used to.
Okay, so sounds like you go for functionality over how pretty it looks.
Yeah.
Okay, good answer. There's no right or wrong answers in this, by the way. So, the last question. What tools do you use on a regular basis you can't live without? Now, I'm going to prefix that question with stating that I know Darren does a lot of hardware hacking. So, and for that, he uses... he's not just a Linux-only guy. He uses Windows as well and various operating systems. So, he's probably going to come up with a tool that, or one or two tools which we may never have heard of. Is that right? Am I right in thinking that? Oh, I mean, you've probably heard of them because you use them every day.
Let's say the slicer programs for the 3D printing. They're what you call it, program that I'm using more and more, as well as obviously the 3D design software, you know, from Solid Edge to Moment of Inspiration to SolidWorks, and there's a Linux program for controlling the CNCs that we also use quite a lot.
Oh, cool. What's that called?
I'm trying to remember. It's the initials. Is it EMC?
Oh, I don't know, mate. My guess would be useless. I know nothing about that sort of thing. But
it's that one. So I'm sure it's EMC.
Okay, cool. So do you do much programming or editing or anything like that?
I don't get time to do a lot of that type of thing. It's normally getting things working and, you know, working out what's gone wrong. You know, when you're playing about with the Arduino code and things like that, that's probably the time that I get into the code most.
All right, so is that...
it's a C language.
All right, yeah, I think I've played about with Arduinos myself a bit, so it's all good fun. Yeah. Okay, brilliant, that was it. Just finally, for the HBR listeners, can they find you on Twitter or Facebook?
I'm afraid not. I don't do the Facebook side of things or Twitter or anything like that.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Not everybody does. So you're basically what you're saying is you like to be invisible, incognito.
No, it's, they say most of the people that I come into contact, you know, get my email address, and I find that's enough.
Okay, brilliant. Well, thank you for taking part, Darren. It's been epic.
Yeah. Cheers.
Okay, so I'm at Lincoln Lug, and I am interviewing...
Adrian Farrow.
Hello, Adrian. Thank you for taking part. I've got three simple questions for you tonight. So the first question is, what was your first experience of Linux?
Linux? Oh, when I went into a shop and saw a Linux magazine.
And that piqued your interest?
Yes.
Okay, good answer. That's I'm sure the magazine vendors will find that interesting. Okay, so second question. What Linux distribution are you using at the moment? What desktop environment or window manager?
Mainly Mint, And I also use Nopix as a live operating system.
Okay, that's brilliant. So what Mint does various different versions. Which version, do you know which version it is that you're using? Is it the standard Cinnamon desktop?
Yes, the Cinnamon desktop I use, yeah.
Okay, so that seems to be a fairly popular answer tonight. I think we've got a few Linux Mint users in our user group, so there must be something that's working for them.
It says it's the most widely used operating system, one of the most widely used operating systems in the world.
Do you find it fairly easy to install and operate?
And I prefer it to Ubuntu, because I find that it's difficult to watch movies on Ubuntu, whereas on Linux it's already there. On Mint it's already there.
All right, so things like the video codecs and whatnot are already installed.
They're already installed, whereas in Ubuntu you have to download them separately.
Okay.
And it's the same with Nopix. For a live operating system, it has everything already on the live disk. So again, you don't have to download anything.
Okay, so that sounds like it's fairly important that you want something that just works out of the box.
Yeah, and that's what's good about Nopix, I find, anyway.
Okay, brilliant. So the final question. What applications or tools do you use on a regular basis that you cannot live without? Now, I know you're into your karaoke, and you've already said that you like watching films. So are there any particular tools that you associated with those which you use on a regular basis?
Yes, as I say, karaoke I use. And I use the virtual DJ. And I use that on my Windows 8.1.
Okay, that's cheating, but we'll let you off. No, just kidding. We don't discriminate against Windows users.
I'm not a preferably Windows user. I prefer to use Nopix, but there are some applications that you can't use on Linux.
Fair point. Okay, so for the HPR listeners out there, can they find you on the internet? Do you use Twitter or Facebook?
Yes, I use Facebook.
And can our listeners find you on Facebook? What's your Facebook handle? Could they just pop in your name, can they?
Well, I'm just on my email.
Fazins.
Okay. fazins@hotmail.co.uk.
Okay, I might cut that one out. But that's brilliant. Thank you for taking part, Adrian.
Okay, thank you very much, Tim.
Okay, so I'm at Lincoln Lug, and I think this is seventh or eighth interview of the night, and I'm interviewing
Emma Martin.
Okay, Emma, so we're at Lincoln Lug. What are you laughing for? Okay, we're not going to stop, we're just going to carry on, because this is good stuff. So what was your first introduction to Linux?
When you moved in, so when Philip moved into the house. That's
okay, that's a good answer. There's no trick questions here, Emma. So can you remember, have you used Linux before?
No, I think I used Ubuntu, but I didn't like it, so I went back to Windows.
That's a good answer, as in, have you used Linux before? No, I think I've used Ubuntu. Okay. I think some people might find that amusing. Second question. What operating system are you using at the moment?
Windows 7.
Okay. And what applications... This is the third question, by the way. What applications or tools do you use on a daily basis which you can't live without?
What do you mean, as in like...
Well, when you pick your computer up and you turn it on, what do you use on a daily basis, which if it wasn't there tomorrow, would you think, oh, that's not there anymore?
The internet and Word.
The internet and Word. Okay, for the sake of the HBR listeners, can we just, we may need to explain what's going on here. So, Emma, how old are you?
17.
Okay, so typical teenage girl. We might get her to elaborate a bit more on the internet.
Yes.
What parts of the internet, what websites, web services do you use on a regular basis?
Google and Facebook. Are the only two internet programs, websites I really use.
Okay. That's, like I say, there's no trick questions. That's a good answer. So you spend a lot of time searching the internet on Google and socialising on Facebook. Okay. The final question. Well, it's not really a question. It's not, you know, in the sense of it's not computer related. Well, it kind of is. If for the HBR listeners, can they find you on Twitter or Facebook?
Yes.
And help them out a bit. What's your username or handle on Twitter?
Madman with a box.
Is that your display name or?
Yes, I can't remember what my Twitter name is. I think it's.
Is it something like Elm?
Yeah, Elm 97 or Emma Laura 97, something along those lines.
Brilliant. Thank you, Emma.
Thank you.
And that concludes the interviews. I hope you've enjoyed this episode of HBR and found it to be of some interest. I've been Philip Newborough, and you've been listening to Hacker Public Radio.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HBR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HBR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All Binrev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution, Share Alike, 3.0 license.